the 9th chapter of Mark's Gospel and to verse 24. Mark chapter 9 at verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. This verse speaks about faith, one of the most important aspects of our religion is faith. It is the most basic aspect of our part in religion. Faith is what links us with the work of Jesus Christ for sin. I'm sure we're all familiar with the phrase being justified by faith. Even other religions have faith. We speak of the different religions of the world as being the different faiths. And so faith is something that's very basic to religion of any kind, but particularly to the true religion. We believe Christianity is exclusively the true religion. And in it, faith is vitally important. And here in this situation, in our text, we come face to face with some of the realities of faith. Because we have here a situation of great need. This man's son is a demon-possessed. It's a real demon possession. It's not something that can be explained in any other way. Because Jesus cries out to the demon, tells the demon to leave this boy. Eventually, the demon seeks to destroy the boy. He causes him to have what it would appear to be something like an epileptic fit from time to time. And he causes various other things to happen to this boy. But the real cause was the fact that this boy is demon-possessed. And the disciples, we are told, could not cast out the demon. Now, we often think of the disciples as being the 12, or at times after Judas Iscariot betrayed his Lord, the 11. But here we have the 9, because Peter, James and John were up with Jesus on the mountain of Transfiguration, as we read in the first part of the chapter. And the man comes to the disciples and asks them to cast out this demon. They are unable to do so, and so the man is still in need. And Jesus comes to him and hears his plea. And Jesus responds to him by giving him a challenge to his faith, a test of his faith. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the man realizes that he is caught between faith and unbelief. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And I'm sure all of us here can relate to that man. None of us has perfect faith, and I'm sure the fact that we are gathered here today means that we have some faith. And so this situation that's spoken about here is a very realistic one. It's a situation that we can identify with, aware of having faith and aware at the same time of the great limitations and poverty of our faith. And so this reminds us once again of how realistic the scriptures are. The scriptures present high standards for us, the standards of perfection of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, these same scriptures speak to us in our real position as sinners who are imperfect. So I want us to think about these words of this man and to think first of all of the importance of faith. We perhaps go to the previous verse, to verse 23 once again, to see the importance of faith. If thou canst believe, said Jesus, all things are possible to him that believeth. The question Jesus is asking the man is not, do you think I can heal your son, but it is, Do you actually believe that I can? He's not concerned with Jesus' own abilities. These are quite assured. The question is, will Jesus do something? Does this man believe that Jesus is able to do something? Jesus emphasized faith a lot in his ministry. We see it right at the beginning in Mark's Gospel, in the very first chapter at verse 15. This is Jesus coming into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." That is his message. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, what is this faith that is being spoken about here in this particular situation? This man believes, and yet he is aware of unbelief. What is this faith, and at what different levels can it be at? Well, very often we're very vague about faith. There are a lot of people, maybe some in the congregation here today, who, if you ask them to say, "Do they believe?" "Yes, I believe." "Yes, of course I believe." A lot of people outside churches today, people who wouldn't dream of going into a church today, would say, "Yes, I believe." But the important thing is, what do we believe? Do we believe simply in God? That God exists? That's very important. The letters of Hebrews tells us that that is the basic idea of faith. Anyone that comes to God must believe that he is, or that he exists. That's basic. But so what? James, in his letter, tells us that the demons, the very demons like the one that was taking control of this boy, they believe in God. They believe God exists. They know God exists. And they tremble. They're afraid of God. So it's not enough simply to say that we believe in God. That's faith at a very low level. But it's not what we call saving faith. Saving faith is something much greater than that. We go to that then next. What is saving faith? Belief in Christ for salvation. Well, the disciples believed in Jesus Christ for salvation. And yet they weren't able to cast out this demon. They could do nothing in this situation. So what does faith mean in this circumstance? "I believe, help thou mine unbelief." I think the clue to that is found in Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter which tells us about the people who believed in God. Through faith, so-and-so did such and such a thing. That is the pattern of the verses. And people did things through their faith. Sometimes they did very great things. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. There are some of the phrases that are used as the writer to the Hebrews just mentions in summary some of the great things that people did through faith. We find it also in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John, by the power of God, healed that lame man. And they were asked about it. How did they manage to do that? Well, they referred to Jesus Christ. "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." It was through faith. Faith that God will do great things. Verse 23 again. "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Jesus said something very dramatic himself on another occasion. "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible with you." Great things are possible to those who trust in God, those who are in tune with him, those who are in a close relation with him. It's seen in all these people who are spoken of in Hebrews chapter 11. It's seen in people in the Old Testament, people like Abraham and Daniel, who did great things through their close relationship with God, their faith in God. And it's supremely seen, of course, in Jesus himself. Look at the great works that he did. Jesus spoke about the faith that moves mountains. It's an advanced level of faith. The man here, he says, "I believe, help my unbelief." He's not at that advanced stage yet. The disciples were not at that stage, at that point. But Jesus was, and he holds out the possibility for them. And so it's important that we believe for salvation. It's important that we have faith. Now, the most basic faith that we need is saving faith. Remember, as I said, it's not enough to say, "I believe that God exists." So what? That's not going to save us. That does nothing to deal with our sin. The most basic faith that we need is saving faith, trusting in Jesus Christ as the one who takes away our sins. But we must go beyond that as well. Faith must be strengthened, and it must grow as a result of a close walk with God. That's the sort of faith, I believe, that is spoken of here. Something that goes beyond mere saving faith. Saving faith is a marvelous thing. It grants eternal life to whoever believes. But we must go further than that and go on in our faith. So that's the importance of faith, how important it is. It is vital. It is a very important thing indeed. But then let's look at this man's awareness of faith. He says, "I believe." He says, "I do believe." Jesus says to him, "All things are possible to him that believeth." And this man says, "I believe. I do believe. Yes, I believe." He believed that Jesus could cure his son. After all, this man had come to Jesus. He believed that there was an answer. He believed, and he knew he believed. He can say that, "I believe." Now that's the sort of situation that we should aim to be at the very least. To have that level of faith which enables us to say, "I believe, and I know I believe. I know I am trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ." Now very often our faith is tested. And it's tested in such a way that we sometimes reach the stage where we wonder if we do believe at all. That is a very common situation. That our faith is tested by our circumstances, whatever these may be, and we wonder, "Do I really believe at all?" But that's what we should aim at. That we'd be in the position where we believe, and we know that we believe. Remember what Paul says when he's writing to Timothy. "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I know whom I have believed. So that's a good thing to be able to say. I do believe. I do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. But alongside this knowledge of his own faith, this man recognizes that there are limits to his faith. He says, "Help my unbelief." He realizes that alongside faith, there is unbelief. Faith and unbelief side by side in this man's heart. Now, it's very difficult for us to understand how that can be. We know it's the case, because I'm sure all of us would agree with that, that that's true of ourselves, that we do have some faith, but alongside it, there's an awful lot of unbelief. How can we illustrate this? Well, there are various illustrations that you might have. You could think of it, for example, as being a measuring rod or something like a ruler, and down at one level is zero faith, no faith at all, and up at the other end is perfect faith. And at a very low level we have those who believe that God exists. That's faith, but it's not very much faith. You have to go to a certain extent to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation before you're saved. Saving faith at one point, the basic saving faith, but going beyond that to the sort of faith that Jesus Christ had as a human being that enabled him to do such great things. Or we might think of it as being a mixture of orange juice that you might drink. You would get a little bit out of the bottle and you'd add water to it to dilute it. And you might do the same with something far stronger as well, of course. And you'd get this mixture of the two things, the pure concentrated liquid and the water to dilute it. And that we might think of it in that way. Or we might think of it like a map. I'm sure you've seen a map that people might use, say, for example, at the general election. There'll be a general election coming up this year. And on election night, what we'll see is we'll see a picture of Britain, and there'll be part of it coloured in red, that's the part that is held by Labour, and part of it coloured in blue, the part that's held by the Conservatives, and so on. And we can think of it, our lives as being like that map. And the level of faith we have is those parts that are coloured red, let's say, and there's parts in our lives where there is unbelief, and these are coloured some other colour. These are three possible illustrations. I don't know which is the best. I don't know which is the most according to Scripture. But it's to help us understand that there is this mixture. There is faith and unbelief. This man is very typical of us. I believe, help my unbelief. Our faith, you see, is affected by our emotions, for example, our fears and our doubts. Fears about all sorts of things. Fears about the future. We might be worried about what's going to happen to us in the future. But the experience of faith for the believer is that it gradually grows. It's something that grows and advances. We learn to trust in God more fully, often through difficulties. And we learn to lay our burdens upon Him. Faith is never going to be perfect for us in this life. It's something which should grow and develop as we experience more and more of the Christian life, but it's not something that will ever be perfect. And so we're in this situation where, like this man, we have weak faith, imperfect faith. Yes, we believe, but there is a considerable amount of unbelief. Now, I want to say two more things about that before we go on to the next bit. We're not to be satisfied with weak faith. We're not to say, well, this man's typical, I'm the same. He says, I believe, help my unbelief. I'm satisfied with my level of faith just now. We should never be satisfied with any unbelief in our hearts. We cannot be satisfied with weak faith when Jesus himself rebukes the disciples and the others round about for their lack of faith. Verse 19. O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Jesus is there giving them a rebuke for their lack of faith. So we should never be satisfied with lack of faith. We should always be seeking to develop our faith. And how do we do that? Well, let me stress once again, the way in which we deal with our faith is by taking part in what we call the means of grace. That's why we have church services. That's why we have the preaching of the gospel. That's why we have the Bible for ourselves to read. That's why we have the privilege of prayer. And that's why we have the Lord's Supper as well. These things are the means of grace. These things are the means by which God's grace can come into our hearts and our faith can be increased. And if we neglect any of these things, then we are neglecting our faith and we are being satisfied with a lower level of faith than we ought to have. And that is something which will make us liable to the rebuke of God, the rebuke of Jesus Christ. There's a danger that we do that, you see. The people of Israel did that. There was a generation that died in the wilderness. A whole generation of the people of Israel died out in the wilderness instead of going into the promised land. Why? Well, the writer to the Hebrews tells us they could not enter in because of unbelief. It's the tendency in us to be satisfied with a low level of faith. And so let's not neglect the means of grace. Let's not neglect these things that are given to us. And particularly since we will be having the Lord's Supper next week, let us remember it in terms of the Lord's Supper. It is a means of grace. God in his wisdom, he understands us, he knows what we're like. Jesus understands what human beings are like. And he has ordained this sacrament where the bread and wine are a visible reminder of the and symbol of the broken body and shed blood of the Lord. And why is that there? It's to help our faith. He understands that we need these tangible symbols to help us. And so to partake of the bread and wine is a means to, among other things, to increase our faith. And so if we neglect that, if we are true saved believers, if we have this saving faith, then we are neglecting our souls if we do not come to the Lord's table. Now, of course, there has to be a certain level of faith before someone can come to the Lord's table. Simply belief in God is not enough. It must be faith in Jesus Christ, the saving faith that I was speaking about earlier. But remember, we can go beyond mere saving faith, if we can put it that way. So we're not to be satisfied with weak faith. But at the same time, we're not to be, not to despair because of lack of faith. After all, this man acknowledged his lack of faith, and Jesus still healed the man's son. God is merciful. He is merciful even to those who lack faith. And in any case, sometimes we are not aware of the precise level of faith we have. It's a very slippery idea for us to try and grasp hold of, to know how strong our faith is. The times when we think our faith is strong may not be the times when it is strong, because faith is dealing with things that are unseen. And a person who's really exercising faith may sometimes be in a position where they think they have no faith at all. Our duty is to follow God's word. And if we can do that in the midst of difficulties, whatever these difficulties may be, if we can continue to keep going, doing our duty before God, whatever that duty is in our own individual circumstances, even though we are very much aware of weakness of faith, then perhaps we're exercising more faith than we thought we have. If we are leaving things in his hands, in his capable hands, then we may find that we actually have more faith than we think we have. It's very easy for us to fret about our lack of faith. It's very easy for us to, for example, with regard to the Lord's Supper, as we examine ourselves and as we look at ourselves, to think, well, I don't have much faith at all. I have no faith. Why should I go to the Lord's table? Sometimes we can examine our faith so much that we actually weaken it. Rather, we are to go on. We are to seek to live by faith. If we are conscious of a lack of faith, if we are aware of that, and if it makes us anxious and worried, well, what do? We just simply follow what God's word says. We continue making use of the means of grace. We seek to carry out God's commands to love him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We go on with these things. And that is real faith. Real faith is when we get on with these things, even in the midst of an awareness of unbelief. And so, we've been thinking about the importance of faith, and also this man's awareness of his faith, and how unbelief was there present with the faith. But what's this remedy that he seeks? What's the remedy for lack of faith? Well, it's seen in these words, "Help thou mine unbelief." These words that are addressed to Jesus. "Help my unbelief." This man admitted that he had a lack of faith. And he came to Jesus to have his faith strengthened. Now, when he comes to ask Jesus here, we're not to think of it in terms of coming once and asking once, and that will be the end of it. He is asking for continuous help. He's asking for daily help with this. He's saying, Lord, daily help my unbelief. Continue to help me with my unbelief. That's what a similar thing to what the disciples asked. On one occasion they said, Lord, increase our faith. If we have an awareness of our lack of faith, then let us ask God for help. Let us ask Jesus Christ for help. He is the one who gives us faith. Faith, we're told, is the gift of God. Now, when this man's asking for help with his unbelief, he's not asking Jesus to help him to have such a level of faith that he is worthy to have his prayer answered. It's not like that at all. That would make faith a work of righteousness, that we get something because we have faith. We deserve it because we have faith. It doesn't work like that. It works in a completely different way. If we have lack of faith, we look to Jesus Christ for him to increase it. Remember, he is the one who provides us with salvation. The writer to the Hebrews tells us this: lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. These words are said immediately after the chapter which has that great list of the great people of faith. We are to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one who provides us with faith, and he is the one who will help us with our unbelief. And he's also our example. If we go back to this incident here with this demon-possessed boy, and we see Jesus' response to it in verses 28 and 29. Jesus told the evil spirit to leave the boy, and the disciples are understandably curious. They say to Jesus, how come you managed to cast out this demon and we couldn't? And we read in verses 28 and 29, why could we not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is necessary. You see, prayer and fasting is a sign of a developed faith, a faith that is developed through spiritual self-discipline. Once again, it goes back to this question of the development of our faith and what is necessary for that. What is necessary for that is a close walk with God. Jesus here is our example, he's our inspiration, he's the source, and we are to seek to emulate him. He is our example. He is the pattern by which we are to live our lives. And what was his life like? His life was a life of total personal devotion to God. Such personal devotion to God that he thought the same way that God thought. And therefore, when he asked something in prayer, he would receive it, because he would only ask for those things that God was prepared to give. And as it turned out, these things were great things. He did many wonderful things in his ministry. Now, what about our situation? How far are we prepared to go? Are we prepared to seek this extra faith? Are we prepared to seek the sorting out of our unbelief? Are we prepared to go to the extent of prayer and fasting? Are we prepared to go to the extent of being devoted to God? If we do, then we will find things happening. Then we will find God answering prayers. This is what John says in his first letter. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. In the Psalms, we find these words: delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. The way to help our unbelief is to draw closer to God
to draw closer to Jesus Christ, to delight ourselves in God and in everything to do with Him. And if we do these things, then He will give us the desires of our heart. Why? Because the desires of our heart will be for the right things, the things that God is prepared to give us. And that is the way in which faith is increased. Who are the people who have the greatest effectiveness in the service of God? You look through the Bible, you look through history, and you see it's those who were closest to Him. Those who were devoted to Him. Those who made full use of the means of grace. People of prayer, people who studied the Word of God. People who wouldn't miss a service of worship. People who would make use of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and so on. These are the people who are used by God. These are the people who have greater faith. If we want to be used by God, if we want to be part of this, then we must seek this advance. Now our faith will be tested. Our faith will be tested as this man's faith was. There'll be trials, there'll be difficulties, but we must keep going. So we are in the situation like this man. We can all identify with him. It's a very simple text. Supposing you remember nothing of the sermon, remember this. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. We can make that our prayer. We know what it's like to have some faith, and we know what it's like to lack in faith. Let's seek to advance. For some people, it will mean advancing from simply belief that God exists to belief in the saving work of Jesus Christ. That's the most important level we can reach, as I've said. That is so vitally important. It's not enough to believe that Jesus is simply the Savior. We have to personally trust in Him. But beyond that, we have to seek to have a closer walk with God, to increase our faith, to undertake this great adventure. That's what it is for the Christian life. An advance in faith is a great adventure. Otherwise, what will happen? Our faith will be weak. Our faith will be like the disciples there. And we will miss out on a great deal of blessing. We'll be poor specimens of Christianity. So let's make sure that we, first of all, do believe. That we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But that we acknowledge the lack of faith that we have. And that we seek to increase that faith by devoting ourselves to God and to His service, and by making full use of the means of grace that are available to us. Let us pray. O Lord, we ask that Thou help us to understand Thy word. Faith is something which on occasions is mysterious to us. We sometimes wonder whether we have faith at all. We are like this man in the gospel. I believe. Help my unbelief. O Lord, we ask that we may not be satisfied with weak faith. That we would not be satisfied with anything other than true saving faith. And so we pray this morning for those, any among us who may be in that position, whose faith is only in the existence of God or in the existence of Jesus Christ as the Savior, rather than a personal commitment to Him. O Lord, we ask that Thou enable them to come to faith in Him, true saving faith. We pray also that, having come to know the Lord as our Savior, we would advance in faith, that we would realize that we do not have perfect faith, and that we would seek to increase and to grow and advance in our faith. We give thanks for the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, of His abilities as a human being, of His commitment to Thee as a human being. And we pray that we may seek to emulate him. So we bring this prayer to thee, and we make it our own prayer. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Amen.